Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. We got this great question from a listener just like you. Said, can you be convinced without being converted? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. And that's because we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to shed a little bit of light on this question. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions today. Here is a question from Mark. Mark says, hello, Bob. I'm going to try not to feel left out here.
Bob and Sean.
This hurts my feelings a little bit.
Both of us.
Hello, Bob. I have a question. I've heard it said that people can be, quote unquote, convinced, but not converted. I have in the past agreed with that statement, but the more I think about it and what I understand the Bible says about believing in Jesus for salvation, that distinction doesn't make sense to me. I'd appreciate your thoughts.
Well, the problem, I've not heard that expression, but the problem with it is it would suggest that it takes more than faith in Christ to be born again.
Right. So I'm trying to think what would be the, okay, so convinced. So you're convinced that something is true, but you're not converted. What does he think converted means?
Well, I assume that based on what he went on to say about believing in Jesus for everlasting life, that he takes converted to mean born again.
Yeah, so converted maybe means for him salvation.
Right.
So you can be convinced without having salvation.
And my answer would be yes and no. Yes, you can be convinced of hundreds, if not thousands, of Bible truths and not be born again. You can believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem and not be born again. Believe that he was born of a virgin,
right,
not be born again. Believe that he lived a sinless life, not be born again. Believe that he raised the dead, not be born again.
Right.
Believe that he is the second member of the Trinity and not be born again. Believe that he died on the cross for our sins and not be born again. Believe he rose from the dead and not be born again.
Yeah.
Because what we need to believe is that he guarantees everlasting life to all who simply believe in him. That's the message of John 3:16, John 5:24, John 6:47.
Not every fact about Jesus is a saving fact.
Exactly. You know? Now, all those things I mentioned, all those things are proof that when he says, he who believes in me has everlasting life, he's telling the truth. So all those things should lead to believe in Christ and to be born again. But the fact that I'm convinced of certain truths does not mean I'm convinced of the saving truth.
Right. Now, one thing that when I was reading this question, one thing I thought about was older evangelists, older theologians would talk about someone being soundly converted. And what they meant when they said that was, all right, now this person is on the path of discipleship. Now this person, they haven't just believed and now are going to walk back into their darkness that they came from. Now they are, their life is headed in the right direction. They're going to church. They've abandoned the right sins. They're doing what a Christian should be doing, if only at the baby level. That's probably not what Mark means by that, but I guess some people might say, well, can you be convinced and not be a disciple? Can you be convinced but not be converted in the sense of now you're headlong into the Christian life?
Yeah, that's another mistake. I've read this a lot where people will say, we know that these evangelistic rallies are not legitimate because very few people who go to these rallies end up becoming functional members of a local church.
Right.
And so that proves that none of these people were born again, or almost none of them were born again, because if they were born again, they'd be functioning members of a local assembly.
Right.
And my response would be, well, it's true that many evangelists are not proclaiming the true message. And so as a result, when they have people come forward and raise their hand or whatever,
yeah,
I would not say they're born again either. But the issue is not because they don't go to church later. It's because they weren't told the correct message.
Right.
They were told to give their life to Christ, to pray some prayer, whatever. On the other hand, if a person does give the clear message of life, the message of eternal life in Christ, and people do believe it, well, then they're born again, whether they follow up in discipleship or not.
Right.
Now, that's what they should do, and what we would expect to do.
Like,
and
ideally, that's going to happen, right?
Right.
You're not just going to believe and walk away. You're going to believe and keep on walking with the Lord.
Right. And if the evangelist is good, he's not only going to be leading people to faith in Christ, but he's going to be then calling them to take part in a local church where they can grow in their faith.
And by the way, this is just occurs to me. Although there is one spot in the New Testament that talks about the, we're not even sure if it's a gift or if it's the office of evangelist.
Right.
Nowhere are we told what an evangelist does, you know, what that even looks like. We're just told about it. You just said a good evangelist is going to do this thing and is going to do that thing. But the truth is, do we even have a biblical idea of what evangelists are supposed to do?
Well, that's a good point. We know Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Paul says in Ephesians 4:11 that there are gifted people in the church, one of which is the evangelist.
Right.
We have Philip the evangelist, who goes to Samaria and leads people to faith in Christ, and Ethiopian eunuch. And so the best we could do is say it appears an evangelist does what Philip did in Acts chapter 8. All we get there is a very brief picture of him evangelizing people. He then baptizes those
them.
Who come to faith in Christ.
Yeah, and then moves on.
And then he moves to the next place. So it seems what an evangelist does is leads people to faith in Christ, or at least shares the saving message, and those who believe, he baptizes or gets other people to baptize.
Right.
But as far as whether that person then is involved in ongoing discipleship, well, we're not told. So you make a good point.
Well, I was thinking about Paul. I mean, if anyone was an evangelist, Paul was an evangelist, right? Although maybe you can say, no, he was really an apostle, and so he was doing what an apostle does. He started churches everywhere.
Well, some people say, and I think it's correct, that the apostles were able to manifest all of the spiritual gifts.
Right.
So they were able to do miracles. Paul spoke in tongues.
All right. Well, I hope that answers Mark's question about convinced and converted. Here's a question from Mike. And Mike says, I'm not an expert on language by any means, just a common farmer. But it seems to me in the Gospel of John, where Jesus talks about obtaining eternal life, the word believes is used. And in my mind, that indicates an ongoing thing. He never says, if you have believed, indicating it's a sure thing and done. But believes, ongoing. If you could shed more light on this, I'd appreciate it.
Well, that's a very good question, and that shows a good level of thought. He might be surprised to learn that many New Testament scholars today argue exactly that way.
Basically, what the argument is the condition of salvation ongoing? Is it continuous faith, or is it like a point-in-time faith?
And many New Testament scholars would try to say both. On the one hand, we're born again at a point in time. On the other hand, if we truly believe, that faith will persevere until death. But now many New Testament scholars are starting to say that you must have continuous faith to gain final salvation. And they use this term final salvation, which is kind of weird because salvation is final the moment we believe.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the verses they would use would be John 3:16, right?
Right.
And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever or everyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so they say, see, that's a present tense there, so it takes ongoing faith in order to have everlasting life.
Right.
First of all, before we even get into the present tense, if it were true that it takes continuous faith to have everlasting life, well, then when would I have it? Would I have it at the moment of faith?
If it's continuous?
If it requires continuous faith to be born again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess either you would never have it, or you could have it and lose it, I guess.
Right, well, or you would get it when you died.
Yeah. Yeah, you would never have it until after you died.
If at any point it stopped, well, then you wouldn't have it.
Right.
So you're right. You would have two options. One, you get it and you lose it if you ever stop believing.
Uh-huh.
Or two, you don't get it until you die. However, if what Jesus is saying is, the one who believes in me has everlasting life, and if he later goes on to say, you'll never perish, you'll never hunger, he'll never thirst, he'll never die. Of course, mm-hmm. in this verse, he says he'll never perish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then if you can't lose it, then you don't get it until persevere till the point of death. In that view, then, a person is not born again in this life. They get it as a prize when they die.
And that's that final salvation you're talking about, that some people talk about.
Now let's go to the present tense. In John 3:16, it's a participle. A participle is a verbal word like a word ending in ing. And in this case, it's a verbal noun because it's got the article with it. It's an articular participle. And so what he's saying, hapistuon, means the one who believes, the believer. Uh-huh. So we could translate John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that the believer shall not perish but has everlasting life.
Right.
And by the way, the same expression, a present active participle, is used for John the Baptist. He's called ha-baptizon,
right,
the baptizing one.
But he's not baptizing today.
He stopped a long
time ago. Right.
But he's still John the Baptist.
Right. So even though he baptized at a point in time, 2,000 years ago, it's still appropriate to say he's the baptizer.
Right. And when he was put in prison and stopped baptizing people, he was still John the Baptist. When his head was cut off, he was still John the Baptist.
Right. So basically what you're saying is, it doesn't necessitate a continuous action.
No, and if it did, then we wouldn't be born again at a point in time.
Right.
So this is a great question, and when Jesus said he who believes in me has everlasting life, what he's saying is, if you find a person who believes in Jesus, you found a person who has everlasting life. Not a person who will get it if he continues believing,
right,
but a person who has it right now.
And by the way, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but can I say that the illustrations Jesus uses for faith all indicate something that happens in a point.
Okay, good. Give us an example.
Right. Take one drink. Not a continuous drink, not drinking your whole life. One drink and you'll never thirst again.
And Jesus compares that to, you drink this regular water, you'll have to keep coming.
Yeah. Or birth. Jesus compares it to the new birth. Birth doesn't happen over your whole lifetime. It happens in a moment.
Neither physical birth or spiritual birth.
Right. So when you look at these kind of examples Jesus gives us, illustrations of faith, they're always point in time examples.
That is great.
Well, keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask this question: do all Christians get to participate in the resurrection? So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.